It's a True Faith podcast. We're going to be reviewing the... Who did we play? It's Bournemouth game.
How many beers did you have last night?
Well, you know, times have changed. We're back to winning ways, and yeah. it was a good evening. Yes, we're going to be talking about the two-week winning streak we are now on, amongst other things.
Form team in the league, I think.
Yeah, talking about how we're all wrong in this Newcastle I'm in. I'm joined by Ben Wade and Andy Bolland. Hello, lads.
Hello.
All right. We'll get straight into it. As I've said, two wins, 6 points in two games, two wins in a row. You could argue we should have got points or more points at Cardiff. Should have got something at Man U. Brighton was unlucky. We should have got at least a draw there. The question is, have we all overreacted to the bad start this season? And is this team better than they've maybe been given credit for? And we've all kind of shat ourselves a bit. Ben, I'll come to you first. What do you think?
Me personally, I'm definitely guilty. I mean, I remember towards the back end of last season, I was saying how I thought they were all good enough for this level, and if not better, and saying how good a squad I thought they were. And then obviously 10 games in the run we've been on, I've been quite critical of them. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I mean, I think when they put in the work rate like they did yesterday, and they have got quality. I think the problem with this squad is just that consistency. Now they're not as consistent as other teams, but with obviously in terms of ability, there's obviously a lot better teams than we are in the league, but I think we normally make up for that with Rafa's tactics in terms of the structure, and we're a hard team to break down, and then the work rate of the players. So I think that can often balance things out. I think what we've lacked, obviously, and it is still the case, the quality up front behind Rondon. I mean, Rondon, it just shows you, it really. There's been a few people sort of having a pop at Rafa, sort of allowing the strikers to leave and who we brought in. Obviously, we hadn't really seen Rondon have a proper run in the team and actually sort of being able to sort of show us what he can do. That the last two games he's been a key player in that, and especially yesterday. I mean, if we didn't have him, we wouldn't have won that game. It's that simple. Not just because of his goals, but just his hold up play. I think had he come off at say 60 minutes or whatever, I'm not sure we would have held on, because the work he was doing towards the back end of that game yesterday, sort of holding the ball up, he was just too big and too powerful for the Bournemouth defenders. They couldn't get the ball off him. He was winning vital free kicks, and it just gave us an out ball. It gave us an option that when we were struggling and we were sort of getting pegged back a bit, we had somebody to hold the ball up and allow us to push out and put Bournemouth back under pressure, and that was key. I mean, you were never going to get that with Hosslou or any of the others up front. So I think there's some quality in the side now that we could see that has been missing, and I think we still got the attributes and the characteristic of last season's team, whereby we're tough to beat. So yes, probably some people have been a bit low on them, ourselves included, but at the end of the day, we know what they're capable of because of that run they went on at the end of last season, and it was just frustrating that we weren't seeing that.
Yeah, Bolland, has it just been a case of bad luck? I mean, I've mentioned the Cardiff game, Man U, where we didn't get a penalty, and the luck's kind of gone our way in the last two games, where we rode our luck first half against Watford and then sneaked the result. Bournemouth could and probably should have had a penalty first half, but we've got away with that, and then we've gone on to kind of comfortably beat them, but with a bit of help. Is it a case of, you know, we've had some bad luck and lost some games, and we've had some good luck and won some games, and actually all isn't as bad as we thought?
The thing with this Newcastle side is, and I think it's something that we all know, is that for this side to win football games, we basically need everything to go in our favour, and they need to execute Rafa's game plan to perfection. We don't have the quality, that's obvious, but what we do have is a bunch of lads who are just really, really committed to the cause, and that's mint. But as we've seen, like the Bournemouth game yesterday could have easily been a point. They had chances, Watford the week before as well. It's not like these have been comfortable back-to-back victories, in my opinion. They're great points for us, but I'm not going to get too carried away and start thinking that these players, the majority of these players, are good if they play for Newcastle United, because that's partly probably what Lee Charnley and Mike Ashley are hoping that we think. So it comes around to January and you can go, well, look at us, we're 10th, we don't need to invest again. So I don't, maybe we have been a little bit harsh with the criticism over the last few weeks, but there's still players in the team that probably shouldn't be playing for us. Just to touch on what Ben was just saying about Rondon and, you know, letting the other strikers go. Yeah, Rondon looks like a really quality player, but if he gets injured, then we're right back to where we were 2 weeks ago, where we're going to have to start playing people like Hossa. And I mean, that's not really... Rafa's had to make a pragmatic decision to bring Rondon in and let Gale go, but it's left us really, really vulnerable. If Rondon's to pick up another injury, then we're going to be pretty stitched, because he's made a colossal difference to the side and the way we play.
Yeah, I agree. It's all. I mean, this points straight back to the running of the club, and I hate to go straight back on the attack of Ashley and Charnley after two wins, and you want to just talk about the football for a change and enjoy it, because I really enjoyed my day at the match yesterday for the first time this season. It was class. But Rondon coming in later than planned. In fact, all the signings coming later than planned, it just got such a knock-on effect. Rondon hasn't been fit, so we've missed him for 10 games. And yeah, that could have happened anyway. As you say, Bolland, it's a risky strategy to have such a reliance on a player who is a new player. But that's what we've left ourselves with, and that's how they've kind of... The only way Rafa was allowed to bring in this player was by letting go all the other options, basically. It just reeks of us not being organised, and the farcical running of the club, and, you know, the new players have to learn how to play with Rondon, and everything's just been set back, and it's taken us a while to kind of find our feet again, and it's just a waste of the first 10 games of the season. Once again, we're always slow to start because we piss around in the transfer window and leave everything too late and then make panic signings on the last day, and it's all just... It means we never get off to a good start and never get to go on the kind of run that makes us think, ooh, we could really push on and win something this season or look at the cup. So we're going to get to January again where we're still battling out for relegation and the FA Cup can't really take precedent, whereas if we'd got ourselves off to a solider start and kind of established ourselves, we could be going into January really comfortable and thinking, you know what, let's have a cup run and let's get excited about winning something this season. But instead, I've got that strange feeling of, yes, I was buzzing to come away with a second win in 7 days, but what's the point? Like, it's just another wasted season where we just do the same merry dance again.
You say that, Sire. I put 10 quid on us to win the FA Cup last night, so
you're right, Bolin. You know what, if we've got some good fixtures coming up, it is still possible for us to get ourselves, because there's so many bad teams down there, to get ourselves kind of comfortably clear of the bottom five, say. And if we can do that by January, then Rafa will probably hoy everything at the FA Cup, because why not? So, yeah, if we can get a decent cup run, it's possible. So, yeah, fair enough. I'll try not to bring any more negativity to this podcast, which should be about what was an excellent win yesterday. Ben, you've kind of done Rondon. He was tremendous. Bolland, have you got anything more to say about, I mean, the greatest centre-forward performance we've seen since, like, I don't know,
Denver Bar
and Cissé?
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought he was just brilliant. I thought against Watford as well is I think what we knew we'd get from him was that his hold-up play and his work rate were going to be brilliant, because that's what you saw him at West Brom. What I hope continues is that he's obviously taken his second goal incredibly well, and that's what we need to see more of, and that's what Rondon needs to add to his game, really. I think we've laboured the point of this podcast in the past. You know, I don't think he's ever reached double figures in a Premier League season, and you can say that's just because of the like anti-football that West Brom have played, but it is something that he needs to continue with, and his all-round play, it was brilliant. We just need him to keep scoring, because if he's not scoring, you do worry about where the goals are coming from. For someone else's notable performance yesterday was Kennedy. I thought Kennedy was absolutely superb. I thought he was back to his very best. The cross for the second goal is outrageous as well. So it's just a shame that we don't own these two players. Almost veering off on a negative tangent again, but our two best players yesterday aren't even Newcastle United's players. It's mental.
It's mental, but it's true, Bolland. You're right. Kennedy was fantastic. I mean, that second goal was just brilliant all around. We'll come on to the kind of three new lads, we could call them, in a minute. but it started with Key, that he just picked up the ball, didn't really have much on, and then he just spotted Kennedy out of the corner of his eye on the opposite touchline and just like fired the ball at the most like straight pass, but in the air. It was just beautiful. And even Kennedy struggled to control it. It was a bad first touch, went up in the air, but then he still brought it down and put in the most ludicrous cross, which was finished off with the most ludicrous header. We don't get to see goals like that very often these days, and it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. But yeah, you kind of, that leads us nicely into the three kind of talking points of the last two games. Obviously, Key, I've just mentioned, who started that goal off. Fabian Scher, who's come in and had 1.5 tremendous games. And Perez, who, after being dropped last week, seems to be fucking brilliant again out of nowhere. Lads, are they all three of those players now kind of in contention?
It's quite,
assuming everyone's fit.
I think it was about this time last season where I think was it Marino came in and Gale got dropped for hospital, and we were sat here and we were talking about how mental it is that we could possibly be starting football games without John Joe Shelby, Dwight Gale, and it might have even been Lascelles as well. And the same thing's happened again this season. Like, I genuinely think Key should start ahead of Shelby going forwards for the time being, at least. We saw last year when Marino taking Shelby's place, it actually fired him up a bit and he came back even better than before. So, you know, only good things can come from this, hopefully. Perez, we all know what Perez can be. It's just he has these, throughout his entire Newcastle career, he has these spells where he just goes missing for a little bit and then he comes back and he's absolutely awesome again. See the first half of last season and the large parts of the championship season, he would just go missing. He's got, in the box, I don't think we've got better finisher of the ball. And I think he's probably up there, finishing-wise, with most people in the Premier League in the box. And I just hope he can actually like get a bit of consistency now, rather than just doing it over sort of 10 games and then fading off like we've seen him do in the past. And Scher, I didn't realise this, but he finished the game with a broken nose. He played most of the game with a broken nose, which is absolutely mint. I've got a lot of time for that. Most modern footballers would have gone off with a broken nose, so big respect for Scher for that.
Yeah, fair play. I mean, to be fair, Scher and Fernandes seem like a couple of hard bastards that they proper get stuck in. I mean, that ludicrous foul Scher made in the second half, just to scythe down, I think, was it Cook or Brooks? Just absolutely wiped him out just to stop an attack and took his yellow card. Like, fair play to him.
When you get a chance, have a look at his disciplinary record. Scher gets booked in basically every other game throughout his entire career. It's mental. He's an absolute ratchet.
It's really hard to imagine why that is, based on what we've seen so far. So yeah, it is good. I think you're right, Bolland. It would be very unfair for Key not to retain his place, even if Shelby's fit after the international break.
I think you've got
Lascelles is a harder one.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you've got to go with a hot hand, and yeah, I think it's definitely a good thing. I mean, we've said it for years. The more competition we've got in this squad, the better it brings out the players. That season when we finished fifth in the Podgy, we had two players pretty much in every position going in for a starting spot, and it pushed players on. And as you've all just alluded to there, Bolland, you saw last season as well when we got a few different, like a few more bodies in, it lifts the players, and at this level you need that competition. It's not good enough to just sit with the same 11 playing week in, week out. You need people to come in, and that's the frustrating thing about the transfer windows. Is Newcastle United as a club have never understood the value of bringing in players to compete, and for too long we've just sort of rested on laurels. And you've got players like, so for example, Kieran Clarke, for example, still got a role to play, but he was starting for us at the start of last season, and we had Lejeune came in, and basically straight away it was obvious Lejeune was a better player. This season we've brought in Shaw and Fernandes. Now it's taken them a little bit longer to get his recognition, but they've come in, and now you would say, like, you've got real options there in terms of Fernandes and Lejeune both look really, really good, bringing the ball out, and very solid defenders. And then you've got sort of Scher and Lascelles that could be vying for the other position, which is sort of the more aerial position. But I think we've got options now in that back four where we can rotate the defenders without sort of dropping off, and that was obviously one of the issues last season, was that when Lejeune went out, we didn't quite have that that sort of level to come up and be the backup. It was a case of Paul Dummett or Kieran Clarke coming in, and the fact that they're Clarke is now the fifth or sixth option is only a good thing. I think Fernandez has looked absolutely sensational since he's come in. He's reads the game really well. He's sort of recovery tackles. I mean, the number of times where he's sort of a striker gets away from him and he comes back and makes that sliding tackle. I mean, I lost count how many times you've done it yesterday, and he's just absolutely brilliant at no one really ever seemed to get past him. And I think that's always going to be the foundation for a Rafa Benitez side, that you defend from the back, you make yourself difficult to beat, and then you do what you can at the other end of the pitch. And I think if we can keep that foundation, that's why Diarmé is so important as well. If we can keep that sort of back five, including the keeper back six, as a constant, then the players above them, ahead of them, can be rotated, and that's where your likes of Key and even someone like Murphy. I mean, I know Murphy didn't get on the pitch yesterday, but we were talking about him pre-game. Like, he just needs a bit of an opportunity to come in and do what he can. And Richie's performances have started to improve a bit now as well. Now they've got a target man. So definitely, I think that the more options that we've got in positions, it's going to drive everybody on to improve and fight every week.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we've been whinging about it all season. You can't just sit still as a club. You have to have competition in it. When players come back fit, it's obvious, and when got people coming in out of the team and being a threat to the kind of stalwart players, it just ups everyone's game. Like, I can't think of how many players yesterday had their best game for Newcastle this season. I mean, obviously we won the game, but Dummett was next level. He was back to the best we've seen him, because he's stagnated massively this season. Yedlin was excellent. The whole defence was brilliant. Perez had his best game this season.
Could I just jump in there as well? The other thing I really liked with the two that started at the centre backs, how many times did you see us playing sort of the ball out? And it, I think the key thing, we said it a couple of times on the match day, was composure. Key coming in did seem to relax other players, and you saw the likes of Cher and Fernandez playing like 1-2s with the full backs in the midfield, and we actually were looking to play the ball out, and that is a massive advantage for a team like us, where Bournemouth were pushing up and putting us under pressure. We were able to play the ball out and then turn the tide on them and sort of have a go at them. And when you've got someone like Kennedy with the skill and the trickery and the pace that he's got, that's a real weapon to have. So again, I really like the look of that centre back partnership yesterday.
Just touch on Key there again. This expression gets used too much in football, and I think sometimes the meaning of it gets a bit lost. But Key's just a really tidy footballer. Like, does the simple things superbly well. You know, like,
I reckon he hates how much he gets described as a tidy footballer. What does it mean, man? Go on, Bolden. What does it mean?
He's constantly carrying around like a brush and a dustpan, like a mop.
He just does the really like the simple things. Like, you know, he makes the right decisions. He doesn't do anything too like outrageous. You know, with Shelby, you know, sometimes it comes off and it's amazing, but like it looks for like makes the difficult decisions too often. Whereas in Key, it's all just like, it's really simple, very rarely gives the ball away. I thought that describes him pretty well, actually, more so than most.
Yeah, I'll take that a bit further, Boland. What I think we have in Key is a player who has got Premier League experience, who is an international footballer. Cher is an international footballer. Fernandez has played international football, Premier League experience. Dubravka is an international footballer. Rondon is an international footballer. We're starting to get a team that's a Premier League team, and it is an improvement on where we were last year. We've got a lot of Championship players. We've got Richie, we've got Lascelles, who are brilliant, hard-working players and have excelled themselves far beyond what we thought they could, but they're still not Premier League or international quality players.
Hey, Richie plays for Scotland. Where, well, not anymore, now he's piled off.
Very, very occasionally.
That's more
what I mean by that is what you've kind of alluded to. It's the simple stuff, and I don't think it's the doing the simple stuff. It's the doing the simple stuff fast and efficiently. Key does the simple 5-yard passes, but quickly, he moves the ball quickly. Sharon Fernandez moves the ball quickly. To play Rafa Benitez style football, where you kind of move side to side, run down the channels, you have to be able to move the ball quickly. And sometimes I think, you know, the likes of Richie, Lascelles, and Shelby's been guilty of it recently. I'm not doubting Shelby is a quality, probably still our best football player, but we've been really guilty of moving the ball too slowly and just kind of terrible touches here and there. Having these kind of proper footballers, proper players who play for their countries as the spine of your team, we just look a different side, and we were just excellent the last couple of games because of it. And it's a shame we haven't been able to kind of get Key involved more before now. Kennedy as well, obviously, when he's back on his game, he is just, you know, next level.
Yeah.
So, I guess that finishes that point. another kind of talking point of yesterday is, or the last two games even, following some of the kind of stuff that happened pre-Watford with Lascelles and kind of the fans taking another battering, and we need to be united and get behind the team. I think the atmosphere at St James's for the last two games has also been next level. And yeah, all right, it's much easier to kind of be up for it when you're winning games, but I thought that the atmosphere for Watford was good before we scored. The atmosphere yesterday before we scored, and you know, when they'd scored, was still really good and really positive. The both games, there's been less than 50,000 there. Is it fair to say, Ben, because you were there yesterday, is the crowd almost better off when there's 3,000 people who clearly don't fancy it, don't come to the game? And just generally, did you notice a difference in the atmosphere yesterday, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it's better that people don't come. I mean, obviously those people have got their reasons for not coming, so I wouldn't necessarily be there on the side of sort of criticising anybody. But definitely in terms of the actual, we'll say the performance of the crowd, I mean, I hate to use the term, but the we're up for it, you were right, there was a marked improvement in the I think it's the reactions to things in the game. So for example, when we conceded, there wasn't that sort of like moan of like, oh, here we go again. And even in the second half, there was times where and it hasn't happened before now, and it was one of the things I criticised, I think, the crowd a couple of weeks ago for, was that we, yes, I'd always get the argument that the team have got to give you something to get excited about, but there was times yesterday, especially towards the end of the game, where the crowd started singing for no real, I mean, obviously we were under pressure, but the crowd got involved, and you can see that it lifts the players and it gives them that energy, and I think that's what we need to do. Yeah, like the players did their part in terms of they gave us the 90 minute performance that we, well, it was like 115 or something stupid by the end of it, but they put in the graft for so long, and that was reciprocated by the crowd, and at times when you could see they were lagging, then the crowd knew when to get up for it and start singing again. So I think, yeah, it was much better atmosphere yesterday. It was like, I was really pleased to hear the actual support like for the team, and I think obviously we can't sort of I think there's two issues here. There's obviously the whole sort of Anti Ashley stuff, which shouldn't be forgotten, and I don't think we can we should be sort of coming back away from that. We shouldn't be moving away from that. There should still be the pressure put on the board and all the rest of it. But equally, we need to separate that with the team as well. We need to still support the team in Rafa. So I think, yeah, it was spot on yesterday, and I would encourage everyone to carry that on.
So I watched this on a dodgy stream yesterday, and one thing, most football grounds, but more noticeably St James's Park, because obviously I watch a lot more of them on telly, is you don't really ever hear our fans, not particularly loudly. Yesterday it was so loud on the telly, which is pretty abnormal for it. It sounded absolutely class. So yeah, well done, lads, I can hear you on the telly.
Cheers, Bolland. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. There was so much less negativity. I don't know what it is. Obviously, when we start a game well and we took the lead, and to be honest, even against Watford, we were giving them a game, and first off, we weren't very good, and there was a bit of moaning and groaning, but no, nothing like we've had in previous weeks. And I totally get that it's been such a demoralising season to get to where we were at the start of November and be like, you know, winless, and how much more can you give before you just want to go nuts and kick off. But credit to the fans for turning it around the last couple of weeks, as well as the players, because I think everyone was suddenly pulling together. Ironically, after Lascelles' rallying cry, in the same sentence he praised Mike Ashley, but we'll forget that for now. No one could accuse us fans of not being behind this team and with the team still, in spite of the shocking start we had. And yes, we've had bad fixtures, but you know, it was looking pretty bleak 2 weeks ago. And yes, we've probably all at the start of the show said we might have overreacted slightly, and these lads need a bit more credit because they've been trying the whole time, and they maybe just needed that bit of luck to get the wins. And the pressure's off now, so the next few weeks will tell. We've got a Burnley side who are in poor form. We've got West Ham at home. West Ham are shipping goals all over the place. Everton, not an easy game, but beatable. And then the Wolves game. Then Huddersfield and Fulham. We've got, you know, if we're not talking about winning four out of those six games, there's got to be something wrong with us, because we're as you said, Ben, form team after two wins at our end of the table. So why not? And yeah, the atmosphere can only get better. I kind of hope that the 3,000 people who sacked off those two games stay away, because it was good and enjoyable. And if it's anything to go by, I'd rather it was just the same people turn up at the next game. Right, lads, we'll move on from that. Any other kind of individual performances stood out for anyone? I know we've covered all the kind of lads that come at the team. But Bolland, was there anyone else that stood out for you?
Well, he stood out, but he shouldn't have stood out, really. It was Dubravka, because it was just another standard, absolutely class performance from him. Some absolutely vital saves. But I guess you could talk about Dubravka every week, because he's just an absolute worldy goalkeeper.
The save you made before the goal was outrageous. Like, I haven't seen the replay of it, but just it live, I was like, oh, they've scored here. And he's so assured. Like, he's good with the ball at his feet. He does everything, sort of just makes everything look really simple. And he's just a calming presence. And there was times yesterday where like he was coming out and sort of helping out the back four, like claiming balls and things like that. And it is like just a massive help, like, to have a quality keeper at the back. I mean, I don't know that we would have necessarily had that result with any of the other keepers at the club yesterday. Not that sort of I'm want to be too critical of them, but it's just Dubravka is like what a find he's been. Like, basically reserve keeper in Slovakia or wherever it was he's playing, or the Czech Republic, but to come in and do what he's done, I mean, there'll be a lot of teams there'll be a lot of teams looking at him, I think, in the next couple of years if he carries on playing the way he is.
He's not actually that young, I don't think, Dubravka, is he? I think he's sort of at the peak. These are the peak years of Dubravka.
He's in his mid to late 20s, I was going to say, but that Bolland, that's young for a keeper.
29, well, is it?
Yeah, I think footy manager folklore will say that keepers peak around 32, so it's got a good few years yet. Dubravka was unreal yesterday. There was an outrageous save from a close range header. The save he's made before their offside goal was just class, and he adds to that kind of calmness we had defensively. Bournemouth were pressing us quite high. And putting us under pressure, but the Cher coming in, Key and Dubravka are all quite happy to move the ball side to side and just kind of get themselves out of trouble, no panicking, no just like slicing it back to the opposition and putting us under pressure. We were quite good at playing the ball out yesterday, and Dubravka is central to that. He's happy to come and claim a ball and play the ball quickly if there's an option or not. He can kick it, obviously, but it's so different to what we've had again for several years since when Krull was actually good. We've just had keepers who can't really kick, who panic and stay really close to their line and don't really help the defence. It's just another layer of kind of comfort we have defensively, which is class. Ben, was there anyone else yesterday? I don't know if there's anyone we haven't praised, to be honest.
I was going to say, I think we've probably done all the players. I mean, I think we've already said it, the team and everyone had a really good game yesterday, and it was good to see. I think the work rate was back. I mean, Richie is probably the one of the ones we haven't mentioned, wasn't one of his best games in terms of his attacking play, but his work rate was brilliant. And just it surprised me, just obviously Bournemouth have been on a cracking run. Like, Eddie Howe's just been made manager of the month, and I was expecting that to be a really tough game, and them coming and sort of potentially try and play us off the park. And just if you'd have said it at the end of the game, which team there is the sort of the the natural footballing team. I don't think you could have told the difference, because, and that just shows how good a performance it was from our guys, that, that we were the better side. And especially the second half, when they naturally, the game turned and we started to tire a bit, and they sort of came on to us a bit, we still played some nice football and created some really good counter attacks, where really we could have scored a few more goals, really, if our finishing had been better. I think Perez missed a couple, Rondon missed a couple. So yeah, it was just a great performance from everybody, and I would include Rafa in that as well, in terms of the tactics and things. He got it spot on, and even the changes towards the end of the game, when we went five at the back and it seemed to be battening down the hatches, we were sort of laughing and joking about it. The changes worked, that it came on, and we didn't really have any moments other than the offside save that Dubravka made, and the sort of potential goal there.
I thought the decision to bring Kieran Clarke on and go to five at the back was like a really good decision.
Bournemouth, it negated them so much, didn't it?
Bournemouth absolutely feed off the game sort of descending a little bit into chaos and becoming a bit frantic, and we were starting to become a bit frayed, and then we made that change.
Yeah.
And Rafa's just calmed the whole situation down, and basically, like, Bournemouth game plan of just hoying men forwards and just making you panic just didn't work, because Rafa's just calm head just translated straight onto the pitch with that change, and it was just like, we just saw it out, and I think they were gonna make a point after that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. Yeah, I did want to talk about the substitutions, actually, because last week, whilst the subs changed the game, you could argue they were kind of forced, because all three were injury. I mean, Rafa started to put the right players in the right positions, and it worked, but, you know, it's hard to give him all the credit for subs that he was forced to make. This week, I thought the substitutions were all excellent, and they might not have been everyone's cup of tea. It's the sort of subs that might have got a few boos a few weeks ago, taking Kennedy off again for Clark. We were a bit scratching our heads, but at the same time, you're right, I thought we'd kind of lost our way, and in the last 20 minutes of the game, there was, you know, we needed to do something to kind of just make sure we solidified our position, and it worked perfectly. I think you also had Cher on your yellow card, so just adding another centre half in there who could, you know, do a job, basically. Callum Wilson was causing us quite a few problems, and then they brought Defoe on, and it was a bit of a, here we go, lads, we know what's going to happen here. But to their credit, the 5-2-1-2 formation that it seemed to end up with, because Diome went off for Atsu and Richie had gone off for Hayden. We had such a strong defensive way to see out that game, and it was, yeah, I don't know where Hayden was playing, I've got no idea. And then Atsu seemed to be up front with Rondon, but it worked, because when we did kind of get the ball back, he was a really good outlet. Credit to Atsu, he gave a really good 10-15 minutes just running the ball up the other end of the pitch. He didn't really do anything, but he did the job he was put on the pitch to do. And Rondon and Atsu were brilliant outlets just to get us out of trouble, and we just saw out the game without really any major issues, apart from the disallowed goal at the end, which was offside, which was Dan Gosling, of all people. I didn't even realise he'd come on, but he came on at half time, apparently.
Yeah, he did. He had quite a few good chances, Dan Gosling, actually. I don't know where he's pulled that from his locker, because he was pretty awful for us, but
I mean, I can't even remember him playing for his Bolland, if I'm honest.
I remember him scoring against City when we got beat like 6-1 or 5-1.
Yeah, he did do that. Mm. Yeah, so we've literally praised the whole team. Ben, you did mention, yeah, we could have had more. Rondon's had a really good chance to kill off the game towards the end, and keeper's got a good touch on it. Begovic was pretty good, actually. He made some decent saves. Perez, typical Perez, first half, when they just scored at 2-1, had a chance to just put us two up again, and it was a really good chance, and he's pulled it wide. Really want to see him start putting them away. Can't let him get too many more of those chances get missed in the Premier League. Richie had a good chance second half, where came in and the ball was played across, and he just pulled it wide. It was Richie's best game this season for me. And he didn't seem to mind going off, because he looked absolutely knackered when normally he's going absolutely tits at being subbed. So, yeah, quality all round and really enjoyable. I don't think there's much more to say, lads. It's international break, which is a shame, because we're just hitting form, and it's a stupid weekend of friendlies that nobody wants, and it's the last thing we need when things have been going so well.
Have you know, the Nations League is not a friendly. It's a serious competition side. And yeah. You're not excited for Wayne Rooney's farewell?
No, I mean, let's not talk about it because it's just stupid. It should be a testimonial, but it shouldn't be an England international where the players are getting caps. It's just mental. It just makes a mockery of the whole thing. The England cap is being just, you know, devalued by such occasions. So yeah, international break followed by Burnley away on a Monday night, which will be brutal for anyone travelling. We did it on a Monday a few years ago, didn't we, Ben? Absolutely hideous.
We did. Bono,
I don't know if you were there as well. Yeah, it's just such a grim, cold place in December, in winter. Wouldn't want to do that. Then we've got some nice games coming up after that. West Ham, Wolves. For me, I don't know if we should talk about the boycott, because obviously there's a lot of stuff being said. Oh, we'll win a couple of games now, no one will do the boycott. I'm still all for it, by the way. Nothing changes. I think all these two games have demonstrated is that because we're so stupid and run the club so badly in terms of leaving everything to the last minute and delaying transfers and where it left Rafa for the first 10 games, yet this is what we could have done if we did it properly. So for me, all it does is add to that frustration at the way this club is run and that something needs to change. Lads, are you still all for boycott?
Wolves? Yeah, 100%. I'll just come in. Sorry, Bolland. Like, I made the point before. I think there's two different issues here. So it's obviously the regime, the club, and then the team. So definitely when you go to games, go and support the team. But we can't forget that there's a bigger picture here. There's bigger issues that shouldn't be forgotten. And when I was talking about the atmosphere earlier as well, it's key that we still keep the pressure on and we don't let them get off the hook. You mentioned it there about they sort of might get away with it. We can't let this keep happening. We need to keep this fight going, and that's why the whole point of the boycott, it's not to punish the players or punish the manager or whatever. It's purely to show the regime that we're not comfortable, we're not happy with it, with how things have been running, and that we want to change. And just because we've won a couple of games and potentially we stay up again this season, and if we have a good season, the fact that we're in this predicament where it's up in the air, it shouldn't be up in the air. We've got a world class manager, we've got some good players that we should have built on. Like this Newcastle United team in its second season should have been pushing on for looking at a better finish than the 10th, and maybe even looking to sort of take on one of the cups in a cup run or something. Instead, it's back to the same old, and we've had our worst start in 10 years, and the Jesic, and a lot of people will say, oh well, the Rafa and the team are getting off the hook a bit, but they're allowed to, because you can't judge them fairly while they're being forced to work on a budget without any improvements coming in and without any sort of opportunities to improve. I mean, the things aren't going to get any better anytime soon, especially if we carry on. If people forget about this just because we won a couple of games, then it just makes us look a mockery, really, of the whole situation. So we need to keep the pressure on. Definitely anyone that's looking to boycott Wolves or that was looking at it should do so, and I encourage everybody, like, just have a think about it. It's one game. It doesn't make you any less of a fan if you don't go. The whole point is we're looking to send a message to the owner that we want him gone. And I think if the worst thing that could happen would be that we go on a little run now and everybody forgets about how bad we felt over the summer in this last 10 games, about the owner, that needs to carry on, and we need to keep that message consistent going forward.
Yeah, it's a really weird situation, isn't it, where we've got some nice winnable games and we want to win them, but that shouldn't detract from the action. And yeah, boycott might not be a cup of tea, it might not be something you agree with, but how hard is it to just not go to one game on a Sunday afternoon? It's a brutal kickoff time, Sunday 4 o'clock anyway, for transport. It's easy just to sack it off. And it's not about, you're right, Ben, it's not about impacting Ashley on that individual day. It's not about ticket sales on that day. It's about making a point that we're not happy. It's a televised game. It's about letting the world know that Newcastle aren't happy, even if we're 10th in the league. If we're 10th in the league and a boycott goes ahead, it has an even bigger impact. It's going, whoa, they're 10th, definitely. And they're still angry with this guy. And then people will start asking the right questions, and hopefully we've got the right people out there in the media to help us out with that, because, you know, we've seen Ashley wheel out all sorts of dirge onto Sky Sports and Talk Sport to talk us down and to kind of talk up his role at the club. But we want to make them uncomfortable. It's not, again, yeah, it's not about, oh, he's already got your ticker money, lads. Yes, of course he does. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about that. The TV money is far more important. But if we can make him uncomfortable, if we can get, start putting the pressure on him, this is just one of a million ways it can be done. And some lads are making all the effort to arrange these things and to sit there and say, I'm not going to do that because I'm not being told what to do. Quite frankly, it's just really selfish. Come up with an alternative or do take part in anything else. I very much doubt anyone who actively disputes a boycott and goes deliberately is doing anything else to help. So, you know, it's always going to be your decision. I'm not saying that we're telling you what to do. No one can tell anyone what to do, but it's very hard to come up with a reason not to do it now. And if we're all pulling in the same direction and want this guy out of our club, then why not try it? What harm can it do? And there's other people saying, oh, well, you know, we're off to, we've had good atmosphere the last couple of games. We're cracking on because the St. James's has been a bit more positive. Probably true. It does have an impact. But if Newcastle United can't stay up in the Premier League because of a few less fans coming to one game in December, then that's the problem personified, you know. So you can say, oh yeah, well, it's going to be detrimental to the team, but that one game shouldn't define our season. So that's bullshit as well. Bolland, I know you've made arrangements to come up for that weekend from London. Has your position changed on it at all?
No, I think the boycott should still go ahead. It's just a colossal shame that it's got to happen. I mean, we've seen, I mean, you guys experienced it yesterday, but from what I heard on the telly, you know, the atmosphere was incredible. Watford, like, the atmosphere that erupted prior to us scoring the goal was like a huge contributing factor, I reckon, in us getting those 3 points, because like the atmosphere visibly rattles teams at St. James's Park, especially, you know, the smaller sides like Watford and Bournemouth who come to St. James's Park, and no doubt, you know, Wolves as well, it would have the same effect. You know, Newcastle fans can be that tough man. I mean, Rafa keeps saying it, but against Watford and by all accounts yesterday, it is true. So it's just such a massive shame that like it's come to this, where like Newcastle fans are going to have to not go to the game, and it will hinder the performance slightly to make a point to a fat bloke who doesn't really care. Like, he'll probably find it quite funny. You can see him now sat in the stands with Bishop and Charlie having a giggle about it, probably. Like, it's just,
it's a sad, it's thing tragic. And that shouldn't deter us. It is tragic, and that shouldn't deter us from still wanting to do it. Because you're absolutely right, you probably won't bat an eyelid, and on TV, where people will be looking to him for reaction, the cameras will look at him, he'll be probably spotted laughing, and that's just how the bloke is. But that in itself is another reason to protest, because we've got this absolute cretin who seems to relish the kind of misery of others, and it's just, yeah.
He's a sociopath, isn't he? He's just, he enjoys the, yeah, enjoys the conflict, I reckon.
100%, yeah. So, right, lads, that probably just about does it. We'll try to keep it positive because we won the game, but there's still bigger things going on at the club, and I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that. Bolland, Ben, thanks very much for joining us. This was the True Faith podcast, brought to you in association with FansBet. If anyone doesn't know what that is yet, we've partnered up with FansBet. They're a new online betting company, much like all the others. However, 50% of their net profits, or 50% of your losses as a participating bettor, go towards causes into football, basically, like True Faith, like the food bank, like all sorts of things like that. So you can sign up and you can choose where your money goes. If you lose, obviously you can still win bets. That is the fun of gambling. For those who want to do it. Anything else, lads? Yeah, obviously Patreon as well. This is a free show, but we do 2 to 3, 3 to 4 extra shows a week through the medium of Patreon. If you don't know who that is, check the descriptions in the tweets and of the podcast that you're listening to now, because it's cracking. We're putting a hell of a lot of effort into loads more shows during the week. So if you like what you hear, for only £5 a month, you can hear it 3 or 4 more times in the week. Who wouldn't want to do that? Okay, lads, thanks for joining us. See us next week.
Cheers, Simon. Cheers.